Okay. I think
were,
it was a
were you present? Were
no,
you present?
No, we weren't. No.
Why not? Who's the referee's witness if he's only, if he's talking to the managers on their own?
Right. Okay.
He's got no witness.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again, and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm affiliated with Somerset FA. And a few thousand miles away from me in the luxury of his apartment in Dubai is Richard Mellon, who is the technical manager referees at the UAEFA, and just recovering from a sandstorm today. Whilst we're minus 3 degrees, Rich, you're recovering from a sandstorm, I understand. Is that correct?
Yes, we woke up this morning. The wind was quite strong. And then driving to work, you can feel the wind buffer in the car, and it whipped up all the sand. And of course, you know, driving 16, 18 kilometres, it's whipping around quite nasty.
Sand in your underpants, mate, is not a good thing. It's a bit like an organ grinder, so please make sure you keep your zips well and truly done up. Yeah. So in this podcast, if it's your first time listening, what we aim to do is give you some training tips, some advice, more so from Rich, who is in our little WhatsApp group. He is classed as Yoda, whereas I am the Jedi Knight, as it were. So let's move on. I want to talk today, Rich, about a recent game. Let's just put you in the picture here. Today is Friday, the 21st of January. It's currently 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's, as I've said, it's very cold here. It's about -1, -2 degrees here in the UK. I want to talk about a game which I was appointed to as an assistant referee on Tuesday, just gone. A game which sadly, after 12 minutes, was abandoned. And we'll go into that in a bit more detail in just a second, but there was a reasonably light-hearted approach to the start of the game, which I wanted to fill you in on, Rich, here on the podcast, because I haven't told you what happened yet. However, I have to say a big thank you once again to my mate, your mate, Big Rob, Big Mac, Big Rob McDonald, for saving the day on this one, as he does do. And I arrived at the ground, and I arrived there 6:30, as I was asked to do so, opened up my bag and realised that my football boots were still in the radiator at home.
Oh, dear.
Now, our colleague, Rob, I knew was coming to see the game anyway. So when I realised that the boots weren't there, and I've never, ever done that in my life, never. I phoned him up. I said, Rob, where are you? He said, I'm on the way to the game. I said, mate, any chance you can get back and get my boots? Oh, you muppet. Oh, how are you expect me to get there behind this? Anyway, he turned around, came and got the boots, and he arrived at 7:20, 10 minutes before kickoff. How about that then?
I thought you were going to tell me that you had to borrow Rob McDonald's boots.
No. How is that going to work?
You look like Charlie Caroli.
On to the game. Conditions were cold, but it was a nice, crisp night. We were under the lights on this particular game. 12 minutes in, and there was a challenge. So just to put you in the picture, sorry, I was senior assistant on that particular game. So I was obviously looking after the benches, my side. On the far side, down in the corner, where the other assistant was where this particular challenge took place. And it wasn't by no means a severe challenge. It was a coming together, so to speak. But sadly, the lad for the home team ended up with a broken tibia. So this took place right in front of colleagues that we've just mentioned, obviously right in front of the assistant referee. And we were also being assessed that night as well. The assessor saw the incident and actually said to us, definitely not a challenge that was bookable. It was just a coming together. But anyway, the player was down on the ground for some considerable time. Apparently, it was going to take two and a half hours for the ambulance to arrive. And because the temperature was dipping so quickly, they decided it was better to call in the air ambulance. So within about 20 minutes, the air ambulance landed on the football pitch. And that's not something that you see very often in the beautiful game.
It is rare in a beautiful game. And I hope the player involved is recovering comfortably. But you said it wasn't a cautionable offence, or you said bookable offence. Mm-hmm. So it's not a yellow card. Was it a foul?
According to the assistant referee, Jake, no. Christian, who was on top of the game, no. He carried on with the game after it happened. Because it was behind him, he didn't see the after effects, because the player tried to get up. And as he tried to get up, his ankle just flopped and he just collapsed, because there is a video that's just been circulating of it, and you can see it on the video. So eventually the referee's attention was got hold of, and he stopped the game. But one thing I took out of this was that despite all the training that you can have to look after situations on the field of play, and to nothing can prepare you for a situation like that.
There's a few things we can look at here, Dad, with something as serious as an injury as what this is. And I'm pleased that we can talk about the injury without having to include foul contact or anything like that. But there are times when certain challenges within the game will challenge a referee's control, assertiveness. You know, that's when you have to step up and be quite strong. And that's when all areas of mental toughness come in, because we'll talk about this particular one in the most softest sense we can. But when the game was stopped, did the referee walk across and look at the ankle? Because let me say to you, me as an experienced referee now, quite mature in years, as you know, I never put my head in to into the lion's mouth, let's say. I am very, very queasy. I don't like needles. I don't like broken legs, broken limbs, all this, that, and ever. I don't like looking at x-rays when things are broken. So I'm not going to put my head in to look at the incident and say, and asking a stupid question, how are you, mate? Because you say that to a player, you might get the most unexpected answer, which, if he's in pain and he's using an expletive, no, I'm not all right, and then certain things added on to that, you put yourself into a silly situation that you could avoid. First thing of all, don't go and stick your head in there and say, oh, let's have a look. You shouldn't be that interested in wanting to have a look. If the player is injured, look after the player's well-being. And then you start going through a procedure of making him comfortable, getting him warm, keeping him warm. You've invited on the physio, of course. Not many of us are medically qualified to deal with any of these things. I know there's a couple of lads that are listening to the podcast, Colin Hubbard down in Bournemouth. I know he's, I think he's in A&E down there in a hospital and that. And there's a few lads that look after that type of thing. There's a few policemen that get trained. There's a few firemen that know how to deal with certain things. But majority of us as referees are not qualified to deal with medical injuries that are, to this extent, that serious. So let the guys who are trained to look after the players come on with immediate recognition. Get on, help, that type of thing, and let them deal with it. Stand back, stay away. Just make sure they're looking after the players' well-being, and you look after the rest of the players, because, again, there could be players that react to it, and you may get a reaction from players whereby someone could think that that was a foul. What are you going to do about that then, ref? Mm. You've got to make it quite clear that you have control of the situation. Let the control of the situation be separated in small chunks. The small chunk, first of all, is looking after that player, like we talked about, and the physios. Let them do their job. And if they've got to call extra medical staff on, let them do that. Make sure that you can coordinate, what are we going to do here? Let's not move him yet. You don't be pedantic and say, get him off the pitch, get him off the pitch. That is not the way to look after a serious injury. People will understand if you have to have extra medical care, an ambulance to attend, they will understand why you don't move the injured player. So that's the important part of it. Just do all the safe things to look after him, and then take the other things into consideration. You know, talk to me, when did the referee decide that the game was going to be abandoned? What sort of timings were involved? And then what was actually said, and how did you go about it? Because there are certain people you need to talk to now after the physios and the medical people are looking after the player. Who did the referee talk to? Was it the secretary? Was it the manager? Because both managers, whatever you may say, one of them might have a different opinion towards the other. one of them might come on and say, that was a foul, that wasn't a foul, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got to take some positive approach to this. It's not an easy situation to have.
Okay, so I was senior, so I was on the far side of the ground. And my reaction immediately was to, because all the players came over to the benches to get a drink because nobody realised the seriousness of it. So I needed to make sure that the benches were managed and looked after. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And then that was the first part of it. And it got a little uncomfortable before they all started to rush down to see the player, particularly with the manager of the home team, who in my experience, my limited experience of being on that side with that person, I found him quite unpleasant. The way that he spoke to me, I didn't think was appropriate.
What, when you say it was unpleasant, what, the attitude?
The attitude
of the manager,
yeah,
involved, was it?
The attitude, okay. his approach to my asking them just to calm down, let's just calm the situation down for the minute until we know what is going on.
Okay, let me go through a few basics here then, Dad. This is going to challenge your personal control of the situation. Make sure that you never turn your back on the field of play. There are times when you need to talk to people. I fully understand that. But on this occasion, just keep your eyes fixed on the field of play. Know where the majority of players are. And you've said they've come across to the bench for a drink. Don't go and attend to one team and give them the attention and neglect the other team. Give each team, due attention and just have an overview of what they're doing and, you know, just let them do what they need to do. If a manager in this situation does what he does, says something, got an aggressive attitude already, I think that's when you become quite assertive. Mm-hmm. And say, look, I don't know what you get up to normally, but you're not going to speak to me like that. If you do not listen to what I'm going to ask you, then I will bring the referee across and we will take action against you.
Now, I was about to do that.
Be assertive.
I was being assertive. And then he shoved me out of the way like that and then ran down onto the pitch to the player.
Because what do you mean? The viewers can't see what you did then, okay, Dad, sorry. But I can. So he pushed you, did he?
Yeah, I sort of pushed me aside slightly. And I said, whoa, don't touch me. So I was getting assertive. Wow. And then he ran on. He gave me a few F-bombs, okay, and said my effing player has got a broken leg. And then he ran down to where the incident was taking place. And then that was sort of going around in my head as to what to do. And so I didn't follow up purely because the situation, had I started getting involved in dealing with something like that whilst the other situation was going on,
I agree.
I think it would have stirred the honeypot a bit. And
yes,
don't
stir the honeypot because it will get very sticky, for the want of a pun. But remember what he has done. Mm-hmm. Remember his approach towards you and just push you aside. When a manager does that, a player does that, log the action and remember what happened, where it was. And then before a restart, if you were going to get to that situation, make sure you call to the referee and he deals with it to your satisfaction. Do not brush it aside and ignore it. The fact that he's gone in there and pushed you aside, and you may say the push was just, you know, wiping you to one side like you gestured, that is not acceptable. Mm. The fact that he's got disrespect for you needs some sort of control, a level of control beyond what you can actually apply as an assistant referee. Call the referee over, tell him what's happened, tell him what he did, and say, I would like that manager verbally admonished in front of everybody, or something stronger, yellow card. The fact that he's touched a match official and brushed you aside with disrespect, for me, remove him from the technical area. That's what you should be doing. That person should not be allowed to do that and rule the roost. Next, okay. What happened next? I've got on my high point.
I can see, and you're defending my case, Your Honour. So, after about, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes, the referee then called me over, and at that point, there were very few players in either of the benches anyway, because they were sort of just floating around the pitch, talking amongst themselves at that point. So I went over to see the referee. The other lino came over, the other AR came over as well. He wanted to explain the situation, what was going on, and we sort of conversed amongst ourselves as to, is this going to be an abandonment? We're not sure yet. So we're talking about 10-15 minutes.
Okay, just understanding.
Yeah.
So the referee beckoned you over.
Yeah.
Come and join them, and then there was a conversation, and then the conversation increased as regards what's going to happen, what we might have to do.
Referee then he went off to talk to various people whilst Jake and I just stood on the pitch in a view where we could see everybody, just to keep an eye on what was actually happening. Not that there was any tension that it would flare up or anything like that. So I think we were quite happy with that side of things. And then the decision was made, you know, that it was going to be another 25 minutes before the air ambulance arrived. The referee made the decision that it's going to have to be abandoned.
Who did he give that information to first?
I think he spoke to the two managers. I think
Were you present?
No. No, we weren't.
Why not? Who's the referee's witness if he's talking to the managers on their own?
Right, okay.
He's got no witness. Because if one manager wants to object to what the referee is going to tell him, it's the referee's word against the manager's word. And the other manager, the third party, is listening, and he may have a totally different view of it. So the referee needs to have an assistant referee with him all the time. If this goes to investigation and people want to know what was said, what happened, there's people there that can say, I said this. No, you didn't. You said that. You see where I'm trying to get to?
Yeah, no, I see what you're doing.
You need to have witness to verbal exchanges between club officials and a referee. Don't be a lone referee on your own in that situation.
I recall a conversation with the home team manager at one point when we were all together. Now, at that point, I'm not quite sure whether the decision had already been discussed between them, but there was a discussion at one point when, yes, it was said that the game was going to be finished, but whether that was the initial first decision. So what you're saying is, any decisions like this, you need to have assistance with you at all times.
If they're available, and you were available.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's go down another avenue here, because after 12 minutes, was there any goals involved?
It was
already 1-0.
It was 1-0.
Okay. So if the team winning 1-0 doesn't want the game abandoned, there's one tactical reason. If the other team losing 2-0, let's say 3-0, and they want the game abandoned because they've got three or four players out injured and suspensions, they get the game replayed. That's why you need evidence of what is being said, and don't allow tactical judgments or tactical reasons to be introduced into a decision-making process of why you've abandoned the game.
It was a game that had been rescheduled after a cancellation. The away team had players coming in from all over the place, and they had asked on several occasions, look, you know, is this something that we can reconvene a bit later after it's all been cleared up? Because
I never knew all that.
Yeah.
I'm only guessing.
So no. It's just, you know, because the away team would have carried on playing. They would have stayed late and played it because they wanted to get it played.
Yeah.
So it was obviously very eventful.
Abandoning a game is not an easy decision. It's probably one of the toughest decisions you have to make, because let's go into, you're in that period of the season whereby you might get some frozen pitches soon, and you decide not to play the game. But you get to the game, get to the ground, 10:30 on a Sunday morning, that type of thing, and you say, sorry, guys, the pitch isn't available. And then someone turns around to you and says, oh, but in half an hour, it'll be defrosted. You know, there's all sorts of challenges when you're not going to play a game or you abandon a game.
And this was, without doubt, the correct decision to make, tough one as it was. And I think Christian was a little bit shaken up by it, particularly after the game, when the full effect of it sort of sinks in a bit, doesn't it? And I think the next day there was a few emails flying around between us all. You know, everybody was checking afterwards to make sure that we were all okay.
A trauma, that.
Absolutely.
For all of
exactly.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I can tell you, quick update, Rich. One of the WhatsApp groups that I'm in. Life without a WhatsApp group, what would it be like? One of the referees is actually a friend of the injured player. And the injured player decided that he would send out a few photographs of his x-ray. So by 20 past 11 that night, I got some pictures of the damage as well.
No thanks. Which... No thanks. I'm glad I'm not in that WhatsApp group, because that would be very queasy.
It was a tough one, and I suppose my question to you in this situation is, and would have been on the night, I suppose, how long do you leave it before you decide you've got to pull the plug? But again, this goes back to the severity of what's happened, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think that's what you have to measure, because there's no given timings as regards how long you have to wait. So maybe some competitions on a Sunday morning when you've got a frozen pitch, they might say wait half an hour before you decide to finally say the game's not going to be played. But this is not one of those situations. This is an injury which has impacted on quite a few people, and it could traumatize people. Mm. So for me, I would just try to sort of gauge the mood of the players. Just don't make comment necessarily, but listen to how they're talking, what they're talking about, you know. And this is another thing that I say, don't go and stick your head into what the physio's doing. Why do you need to look at a broken bone? Why do you need to look at a cut? Why do you need to look at these things, you know? Sometimes you just, your reaction can be, I didn't expect that, you know? So what you don't see is probably the best thing, how you might approach it. Because like I say, if you see an injury that upsets you emotionally, you're not in the right mood to referee again then. Mm. So there's the other side of it. It's not just about the players. It's about you, the referee. And consequently, you know, it is mental toughness when it comes down to this, and making the right decision. If I said, if it's going to take 10, 15 minutes, hopefully during that first 10, 15 minutes, recognizing the extent of the injury and the severity, then someone would have made the decision to call medical help. And then, based upon the length of the time that the medical help takes to get there, then you might say, we'll restart 10 minutes after the ambulance has left, or we may not restart at all. Cover both benches, you know, both sides of it, and just leave it like that. Maybe you don't want to make a decision too early. Maybe you make a decision a little bit, you know, after the pitch has been tidied up, the player has been looked after and taken away in the ambulance. Mm. It's not easy, Dad. It's not easy.
Hopefully you've learned something from this particular episode of the Referees World podcast. And indeed, if you've ever been involved in an abandonment or something like that, we'd love to hear from you. And you can get in touch through the website, refereesworld.co.uk. You can follow us on social media. And of course, you can listen to us via your podcast provider. Just search out the Referees World podcast.
This is the Referees World podcast.